Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Plotlines. I'm your host, Connor. And today we're going to be talking about the recent attack that, I mean, critique, I guess, by Hello Future Me about what he terms as the woke bros, which I thought was kind of funny because to me, woke bros means that they would be woke, but I guess he takes it as sort of, if you believe the woke exist or, you know, f think that the woke is a threat to society, then you are a woke bro, which I just find utterly ridiculous. Now, I'm on a trip right now, so that's why I'm in a hotel. I'm going to Texas for the Blessed Charles Symposium, which I'm very excited about. But I wanted to do this episode to make sure that you guys weren't missing content, so I could do at least two videos this week. We'll see if there's some episodes coming with the symposium. I don't know if I'll be able to do any interviews while I'm there, something else, or you know, live streams or anything like that. So look for that possibility. But I want to talk about this whole story, this the fact that Hello Future Me kind of, well, he's quite an interesting creator because I've watched many of his videos and I found some of his, you know, critiques on writing and stuff like that very useful in my own writing and in my own way of thinking through storytelling. But it's clear to me that he wouldn't have any interest in learning from anyone who thinks differently from himself. He thinks basically that you have to believe the very, very definite sort of belief system of sort of this mo this the last 5 years, basically. Not even like the last 10 years, but you have to believe in a, such a small time frame of views because you have to basically take whatever you're being told and just go along with that. I mean, he's probably a millennial, I'm guessing. So he hasn't lived in a world where everyone believed normal things, like even though obviously they did like 10 years ago, they but he probably wasn't paying that close attention, or he was already part of the group that believed the wild stuff, maybe about sex and gender and that sort of thing. But basically, you know, he's calling out people like Shad Brooks and The Critical Drinker for critiquing video, critiquing movies and TV shows for being woke, as well as making critiques of those same shows from a writing context, because apparently then it's a veiled sort of political rant. That's kind of what his pitch is that these people are merely trying to get you to believe in this political ideology, and therefore there's nothing else that they're really doing. Now, he took down this part of the video, I believe. I think the full thing, but I don't know if he kept some of it up, but he called them the woke bros. He took down the half of the video. He made a 4-hour video critiquing Rings of Power, sort of as, you know, from sort of the, you know, modern perspective of the world. And then he sort of attacked anybody's critiques of them from a different point of view, from a traditional perspective. And he even sort of tried to call Rings of Power a Catholic perspective, like sort of having Catholic principles within their within the presentation, because apparently faith and because some Christian sort of movie awards gave it an award for something, which is utterly ridiculous. Also, most Christian, a lot of Christian institutions are basically, you know, woke themselves. So, looking at some probably, I assume, very Protestant perspective on the world, or even Mormons, I think that's one of the other things. It's you know, it's made by Mormons, so he's like, oh, they're all they have to be extremely right wing. Well, not all Mormons are very right wing. A lot of like that's like saying all Catholics are right wing, like that they all have the same perspective. No, many Mormons are quite woke, willing to go around along with anything that comes of them. Now, why is their right wing perspective legitimate? We're coming to when it comes to stories and TV shows, movies, like why? Well, because art and storytelling have always been about teaching morals. And those morals have become extraordinarily political. Like, if you don't think they're political, it's because you already hold the beliefs that have just been dictated in the last 10 years. If you hold any belief prior, you are outside what is acceptable. And then they will call you political and trying to use this as an example. So, like, the critical drinker is by no means like a conservative, probably. I mean, I guess he's on the right because the left is now basically Mao. But at this point, the critical drinker, I mean, critical drinker is basically liberal. I think most of the time he looks back fondly on the 90s. I don't think anybody traditional thinks that, oh, the 90s were amazing. Like, I think maybe we think it's better than the 90s or better than the current, but pretty much everything is better unless you're sort of in the fall of Rome, or maybe during the middle of the French Revolution, but I don't even know if that would be a good comparison, or even the Weimar Republic, all these different things. Like, he's just saying it's not political because he believes in feminism, that it's important. He believes in LGBT, whatever, plus ideology. He believes in that stuff. So therefore, everything outside of that is political. And if you oppose those, then you're only doing it because you want power or you're trying to get people to think a certain way. Well, I mean, I think he's trying to get people to think a certain way or make sure people do think a certain way, which most of that video, most of the stuff that he cut out is basically attacking people who may dare to think differently than him. He's basically doing the reverse of what he's accusing the critical drinker and Chadiversary and Night's Watch, and even and he also sort of generically attacked many other people who from what I can tell are not very much not super much super like the critical drinker and Chad, because those two do really focus on politics in the sense of in their context of entertainment. But of course, as I said, entertainment used to not just be about popcorn and laughter and stuff like that, though obviously those are crucial parts, and you want to have that, but they also were about creating a better society by showing the stories of good people as well as bad people and comparing the two. But yeah, so I think Shad, you could probably consider him a conservative. I mean, he is a more traditional Mormon to some degree. But even he says that I think he's more or less all right with homosexuality, just not being shoved in his face. That's basically what he said, which I mean, I think probably this Hello Future Me would probably think me a 1940s German, basically. I think he would probably want to kick me out of society or whatever, which I don't really care. He can think that. I don't but basically, I mean, obviously I'm not that, but that's what he would think of me based on my views on religion and morality and how much the state should follow God's commandments. I mean, like Shad and Shad might be an 80s liberal or like a 70s liberal or a 60s liberal. I don't make something like that. Like, he's not somebody very extreme. He's if you want to look at extreme sort of or much more right wing, one of the things that he tries to paint is that basically all these people believe in the same thing. Like, they see the same thing in each movie. And I think a big thing you can look at how actually the right wing has a point in its critiques, and that even there's dissent amongst the right wing, is when you look at Barbie. There are many different opinions of Barbie. Ben Shapiro was burning Barbie alive, not alive, but burning down Barbie because he hated the movie. Michael Knowles was so ecstatic about the movie because he thought it was a sort of a portrayal of feminism in the worst light possible, which I'm very partial to that perspective. And Connor Tomlinson over at the Lotus Eaters made sort of a similar had a similar take, and actually said we should look at Ken in sort of not admiration as in like we want to be Ken, but just that's kind of our state at the moment. We are relegated to sort of lesser status in society than most women. Most women are favored with jobs, favored in school, that sort of thing. And men are often sort of cast aside. So you have this element in the right wing conversation that even is dissenting from its in itself. I mean, I think that more of the liberal sort of right wing, which isn't really right wing, but we've again, we're so far left wing that the liberals are considered right wing. Like if we're considering Dave Rubin and even you could argue Critical Drinker and that sort of thing, if we're considering them conservatives, we've gone absolutely bananas and way too far. I mean, I believe we've gone too far since the revolutions and since Protestantism and stuff like that. We've gone so far away from the plot, though, that we're not that Hello Future Me is basically attacking people that share most of his opinions on society and calling them basically political activists because they dissent on they dissent on the thing that's being shoved in your face. The message, as the Critical Drinker says, which is kind of funny, is I don't think he's in wholly against the message in the sense of like wanting to change things, wanting to make society any different. I think he's more interested in just his own media. If you made movies that Drinker would enjoy, he probably wouldn't be doing these reviews as much, or he wouldn't be a threat to the sort of the Hollywood elite or whatever, or Hello Future Me probably wouldn't have any criticisms of his critiques, because he's basically going to say, okay, I don't know, there's like a sort of hints of gay romance, but not necessarily like shoved in your face. I don't think he'll care that much if he's constantly seeing someone philandering and they're considered good and amazing. Like if you watch The West Wing, which is basically an Aaron Sorkin liberal fantasy world, I think he would pretty much agree with everything, almost everything maybe, the President Bartlet, if you've seen the supported. And Bartlet was very weak on abortion. He was very weak. I mean, he was quote unquote personally pro-life, and in practice, of course, he was pro-choice. And then he never really criticized anyone for immoral behavior. Most of the people that were a part of his staff were sleeping around, and many of them, I think had children out of wedlock and stuff like that. Like he was like his view of morality was basically, as long as I don't do it, we'll be fine. Like if I don't break my own morals, we'll be fine. But it's okay if society collapses around me and I'm like the last person. It's kind of like I think Carl Benjamin did a video recently talking about sort of the last can what you know whether like Hitchens, I think Christopher Hitchens had basically said that he wouldn't try and convince the last person on Earth who was a theist or something that there was no God because it would be pointless, or he kind of doesn't want to lose that, but also he's not in any way going to fight for that. He doesn't really care to fight those things, but he just doesn't want it to go away. But he also wants it to become, you know, less important overall. I mean, Christopher Hitchens was a persistent atheist and one of the Four Horsemen. And we've been talking about atheists on this channel recently. I talked about Richard Dawkins talking about being a cultural Christian. But anyways, so I think listening to sort of I think Critical Drinker also didn't like Barbie. So like if you take Critical Drinker's Barbie take and Connor Tomlinson's take on Barbie, they're very different, obviously. But I think both of them are important, right? I see important differences that we should have a conversation about. Problem is, and I even will listen to Hello Future Me. As I said, I've listened to a lot of his work over the years if I'm interested in the topic he's discussing. And I think most of these like pop a lot of popular content creators regarding movies, critiques, and stuff like that, a lot of them are implicitly left wing, but they don't see themselves as political because, again, that's the dominant political belief in most places, or at least with the elites and the media and stuff like that. They don't really understand why people would dissent from what they believe. So it just shows that they're really in a bubble, and they think that we're a threat to them, which, I mean, because we do believe that what they advocate for is immoral, I guess you could say we're a threat to them, like a political threat at least. Just maybe, you know, nothing, you know, physical or violent or anything like that, but just, you know, maybe a threat to their popularity or something like that. But it just kind of seems like Hello Future Me's whole thing in this critique of them was basically like, everyone should believe what I believe, and you should only listen to me or people that like my or think the same way as I do. You shouldn't listen to anyone else because, of course, they're lying to you, and I'm going to assume the worst intentions. Like I think one of the critiques was that Galadriel was actually kind of a warrior in the books, which I dispute. You know, even I think he brought up some passages that make it sort of sound like she may have led troops into battle or something. To me, that makes me think more of Joan of Arc, who really wasn't a fighter in a real sense, but a leader amongst men, amongst like she wasn't you know she did get injured in a few battles, but the power of women in Tolkien's universe tends to be sort of on a magical sense. Like Luthien had sort of songs, her song basically made things happen. Like they what's the word? I mean, they basically she would sing, and then, you know, she would could release people from spells or fight people. It's basically like she had some abilities, but it wasn't a physical sense. It was more of a spiritual battle. She had a spiritual power to her. And Galadriel had the same. I think it's in Lord of the Rings, maybe it's in the appendices that Galadriel destroys Dol Guldur. I don't think she literally like broke down the pieces of the castle like with her hands. She used her, you know, basically quote unquote magic to destroy it and to purify the area. So I don't, and I think that's more akin to what Galadriel would have been doing in the earlier times. She very much was a leader, more so from behind, unless she was using magic to protect herself. And she did a lot of protecting. She did mostly protecting. I just don't think she ran around with swords. And, she may have had armor of some kind, maybe. But, again, she wasn't I don't think Tolkien ever thought women had a equal place in combat by any stretch of the imagination. And you can see that with Eowyn. Eowyn is actually a great repudiation of this concept in Tolkien's work. She is poisoned by Wormtongue. The whole reason she is looking for glory is because she feels left behind. She feels unloved. She has been basically stuck looking after a decrepit old man, and she is basically poisoned with feminism into going to war. And when she kills the Witch King, which she doesn't do by herself, by the way, Meriadoc does a huge part of that as well. It's not just her, by the way. He basically wounds the Witch King in the back, and she does do the whole "I am no man" type of thing, but also Mary is sort of they both do the sort of killing of the Witch King. And in the dis and in that, it does keep to the prophecy that there that a man, no man, can kill the Witch King, because together they're really not a man. The hobbits are very distinct. I mean, you might say that's a technicality, but I think it works on a technicality, and Eowyn is a woman. So together they took down the Witch King, and that works with the prophecy. So, and I don't think it was I don't think she had some special ability. I just think it was more prophetic, that had been foretold. And then afterwards, sort of after the healing that she receives in the Houses of Healing by Aragorn, she basically repents of her feminism and becomes, she's no longer a shield maiden of Rohan, she becomes a princess. I mean, she marries Faramir, an extraordinary, probably the perfect man almost outside of Aragorn in Lord of the Rings. I think he's sort of second to Aragorn in some sense, but very much one of the ideals of chivalry right then and there. And she settles down and has a family. I think she's a perfect example of not sort of repenting of feminism, not saying feminism is where women should be. I just don't think that's what it is. She wouldn't. If she was poisoned, why would she then do the thing that's good? No, that's not, that doesn't make any sense. She was rebellious, but many people are rebellious, and good things do come out of those. Not the rebellion itself is not a good thing, but as we all know, God takes evil and uses it to good. Doesn't make the evil good, just makes it sort of useful to God, because God already knows what's going to happen. Anyways, it's the same in Lord of the Rings. There, it's the same theology. But of course, if Hella Future Me has any knowledge of Catholicism, it's probably liberal Catholicism. That's what I would assume. So to think that Tolkien would be happy with any of the sort of the faith-based things, if anything, it would be sort of Mormon. And one of the other critiques he makes of sort of the I think some of these guys is that what is it? Oh, that there's more context or subtext. There's subtext in some of these scenes where the queen is talking to Elendil, and it's supposed to be like Hella Future Me thinks it's supposed to be a discussion of trying to see if the queen can trust him, and if they're if she's part of the elf friends, the loyalists. Can't remember what they're exactly called. I know they're elf friends, but and Elendil's name means elf friend, you know. And it's not set up in any capacity in the Rings of Power. I don't see why you can extrapolate that he's saying, or that they're saying what the book is saying without doing any of the due diligence to show that the book is actually correct in this universe. So, like, I have no concept watching that show that they're following the books, because they are breaking so many points of continuity and canon, basically, of the books, that why should I expect that these people know, like, what they're doing? I think they're just taking sort of some broad theme, thematic stuff, and then shoving it together, and they don't really know what they're doing. So, but yeah, I just don't see any evidence that that we should think that there are the loyalists, or there are the friends of the elves, really, in the show. I think it's more just, or at least it's just unclear. So I don't understand how that subtext, the subtext of the story you have to find in the book. I just don't think that's good writing, and I don't think you can assume that's what they were doing at all. I'm trying to think of, I mean, obviously, I think that Hello Future Me had some good criticisms of the storytelling, but of course, he was doing it from his only important perspective. Of course, his perspective is the only perspective that's important. So, thereby, you know, his criticisms are okay because they're left-wing criticisms, or they're criticisms with. From a left winger, while Shad and Critical Drinker, and trying to think of who else, I think he threw Matt Walsh and stuff like that. I don't even know if Matt Walsh did a critique of the Rings of Power, but of course he's not even Matt Walsh isn't an entertainment critic. He's a political critic. Or political commentator who occasionally critiques pop culture or whatever. Anyways, to think that critiquing the morality of such things as feminism, LGBT, whatever, is not all right in media or in criticisms, media criticisms, just completely denies the morality of stories, of the importance of morality of the stories of, like, Dante's Inferno, and you know, Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, or you know, the Bible's full of stories, parables specifically, that aren't literally true, but they are, you know, mean true things. Like, there was no prodigal son, and there was no, you know, brother, and there was no father. Of course, these are allegories for real people, you know, but not literal. Mr. C is saying, despite its deviations, we were lucky to have the Lord of the Rings movie trilogies when we did 2000s. Any later, we would have got the best, you know, the Hobbit trilogy, worst of woke fan fiction. Yeah, I mean, that's very true. The times have just moved extremely fast, and Hello Future Me doesn't basically recognize that the past existed, you know, even the recent past, because you know, they're all living in sort of, you know, that's why they say it's, you know, it's 2024. that's basically their, you know, that's their criticism of everyone is that, oh, well, we're past, you know, sort of those ancient ideas. So anyways, thank you all for watching. Please like, share, comment, and subscribe. If you guys have any questions, I'll try and answer them. But I really do think that Hello Future Me is just in a bubble, obviously. And he should come out of the bubble. Listen to other people's videos fully. I think he cherry picked and, you know, probably didn't listen to as many videos as he should have in his criticisms. And maybe even he should think, you know, am I wrong about this sometimes? I think, am I wrong about this very often? And, you know, that's why I try and say what I think. And if I'm wrong about something, I'm willing to accept that I am and apologize for it. You know, like, well, not really. I guess if it's really egregious, I'll apologize for it. But, you know, I think you should recognize that people make mistakes and that's just something normally people do. If you think people are infallible, it's you're utterly ridiculous. I was talking with somebody earlier today, and we were talking about how left wingers tend to view people in very black and white terms, like especially political stuff. They see their enemies as utterly evil, and they see the people that they support is pretty much almost utterly good. So obviously there's some middle ground where, you know, like a progressive might have disdain for a liberal or for like a social democrat or something like that. Or, you know, there's some disagreement there too, but, you know, their favorite people are perfect to them. While a traditional person or a right winger in general, any type of right winger, even the sort of the fake right wingers of, you know, of our time, like liberals, they look at their own, own like thought leaders and philosophers and stuff like that, and say, okay, they probably got some things wrong. I'm going to accept that and see that obviously they're completely evil people, but these my favorite people aren't perfect either. They're better than the people I disagree with, probably morally, sometimes, not always, but they at least got more things right in, you know, from their perspective. Now, a traditional person, in my opinion, also looks at somebody like, you know, Francisco Franco and sees an imperfect man. Obviously, I know Stalin was evil, right? And Franco may have been closer to my way of thinking. Maybe not. Well, he's definitely closer to my thinking than Stalin. But, you know, is he perfect? No. I mean, there's very few perfect being humans, very few humans that are perfect. And that's, you know, many, you know, we've got saints and that type of thing. You know, it's one thing to look at saints, but even saints, you're looking at them and saying, okay, their life at least ended well. They ended either, you know, martyrs sacrificing themselves for their faith and for protection of Holy Mother Church or whatever, you know, depending on the situation, or they did live very good lives for the most part. Again, imperfections, but, you know, leftists can't understand that sort of thing for the most part, especially, well, leftists, straight leftists can't, like complete ideologues cannot understand that. Anyways, thank you all for watching, and God bless everyone. Bye.